of my life. I was born at the Cool in the house opposite the chapel. I am told I was a very sick baby and was very ill when only months old with bronchial pneumonia, when doctors said I would not live. The first few years of life, I was very frail and very frail. We moved to East Baldwin, but only stayed there a very short time, as Tossie Clucas was having a bungalow built for my parents. This had three large bedrooms and a lot of land. There was a very large garden. Dad was very fond of gardening. He grew beans, peas, potatoes, celery, carrots, rhubarb, and under the house he grew mushrooms. Also he grew in his garden beautiful flowers, gladiolus, docks, roses, snowdrops, daffodils, you name it, and Dad had it. There was gooseberry bushes, red and black currant bushes, apple trees, pear trees and plum trees. And he had two greenhouses with tomatoes in, also with grapes, cucumbers and marrow. And we had a beautiful loganberry tree. You name it, and Dad could grow it. Clucas's laundry was where we all started our working years. Dad was manager of the dry cleaning and the dyeing department. My father was the first man to bring dyeing and dry cleaning to the Isle of Man. My mum stayed at home. She always had meals. She used to do the cooking, general housework. And we never went home for our meal and had to wait. It was always on the table for us and always hot. My first memories were when we lived at Riversbank. I would be approximately about 4 or 5 years of age. I did not start school until I was 7 because I had a lot of health problems. I have wonderful memories of life and family. We had very strict parents, but they were true Christians, and we were taken to church and Sunday school, not sent. We were always encouraged to bring home all our friends, and this we certainly did. We had some wonderful parties. Our parents were really great fun, but at the same time they were very strict. If they said we had to be home at 10 o'clock, they meant it, and woe betide you if you didn't come. Just fancy today they only start going out at 10 o'clock. My word, life has changed. My school days were great fun. I went to Murray's Road School in Douglas, and my favourite subjects were maths, English, spelling, needlework and sports. I had many friends, to name but a few: Muriel Bullock, Louis and Millie Hunstall, Janet Boyd, Thelma Corlett, Annie Humphrey, Hilda Cowell, Brenda Cubbin, Grace Seaton, Doris Kermode, Harvey Briggs, Sydney Gorn, Ernie Corlett, Nerna Humphrey, Jimmy Linsky, Jackie Carouche, Teddy Kane and the Ennett family. All our play areas were up the Claddock, that's up past the dam, where we spent many, many happy hours. Up in the Dippy Dub, that was our swimming pool. We used to make swings with rope, and we used to swing across the river many a time, falling in. And there was the dam. We would play roly-poly there on the sloping banks. And many times we've made boats out of wooden boxes and sailed them down the river. It is a good thing we were all taught to swim. The times we've been soaked. We would build sod houses on the plantation. Then in the village we had great fun. Playing in the winter, scoop, hide and seek, shadow hiding, football, and in the spring we played top and whip, marbles, hopscotch, rounders, races. Oh, we were not angels. We used to torment an old lady, Kitty Cannon, who lived in a small caravan in the old quarry. We would throw stones at her old tin bath and tins that she had underneath it, you know, her pots and pans, until she came out and give us chase. And we would tie doorknobs together, then knock at the doors and hide often. Often we would be caught and have a good hiding given to us. Another thing we used to do, go for walks. And a favourite was walking up Cronkburn Road. And many a time we've changed all the gates up that road, and the next day we'd go to school and we'd walk up that road and the postman would be standing scratching his head and saying, well, number 10, where's that? That's down the road, and it was up the road yesterday. Many a time we've watched that happen. And we would get caught doing different things and we'd get a good smack. But our life was great. When September came, we would start and gather rubbish for our bonfire in November. We would store it down in the quarry. And then on the bonfire day, the men from the laundry would come up and they would bring old tyres and petrol and they would build it higher than the houses, right in front of number 7. All traffic would be stopped, and when the fire died down, we would put spuds and chestnuts on it to roast. It was great fun. We used to dance around it. And again, Christmas was another terrific time. We used to do concerts in the village hall. Lady Doris Carroll, she would train us. And when the night came, there were the big concerts, which we had no choice. We had to take part in. And we, as children, we used to have to rehearse for this. And then for the adults, there would be impromptu speeches, competitions, spelling bees, and poetry and solos. And there was always a big Christmas tree there. It used to reach the roof. And this tree would be laden with the most beautifully dressed dolls. And there was presents for everyone. And always a white paper bag containing an apple, an orange, a bar of chocolate, and a sticky bun to take home with us. Oh, such happy days. And it seemed always to be warm and sunny in the summers of those days. I suppose we did have the rain, but we don't remember that. At Easter, it was a tradition to walk to Port Sodbury. All families would go, mothers and fathers and the children. And when we got there, we'd play round us and go on the rocks and go down to the oyster beds and up to the glen. You know, it was really great fun. And we used to always take sandwiches with us to have a picnic. But what a treat it was when we come back home, because coming back home, we would go by train. Now, that really was something. But, you know, I only thought of it today. When we got off the train at Douglas, we used to have to walk all the way to Crumpburn with our parents. You know, today, they would never do that, would they? I remember well gathering herbs for Mrs. Kelly along with the other people out of the village. Now, Mrs. Kelly was Muriel Hotbullock's grandmother. And she used to make herb beer and lemonade. She turned her house into a little shop. And she also sold cigarettes and chocolates and potato crisps. Now, we would go down the quarry and after we'd gathered these herbs, and we'd say to her, Mrs. Kelly, can we take the water down in buckets and wash all your bottles for you? And she used to think we were wonderful, and she would let us do it. And we used to wash these bottles, but when we washed them, the boys used to go and gather snails and worms, and they would put them in them. Eek! It was horrible. And then when Mrs. Kelly had a beer and that ready, we used to go up, take the bottles up to her, and she wouldn't wash them again because she trusted us. And then on a Sunday morning, we would go and we'd sit on the stone wall opposite, and the visitors would be returning to Douglas from Kirkbride and open air services. And we would just sit there and watch them drinking this herd beer and lemonade, and they wouldn't even know what they were drinking. You know, we could have been taken up for manslaughter. Then we had Mrs. Hunstall's shop, which sold things from bacon to paraffin. Mrs. Hunstall was a great character, and so was her husband. Her husband was a postman, and you'd never see him without his bike. And I don't very often remember him riding it. He seemed to be always pushing it, and he would always give us a penny when he met us on the road. He was very good with all the children. We all walked to school from Crumpburn and down to Murray's Road School, and we'd walk home for dinner and back again, and then home again at tea time. Plenty of exercise in those days, and we were in trouble if we were ever late. The village had many characters. There used to be Walter McGee, And there used to be Mr. Humphrey and Mr. Bullock. And they would all be booze and friends going out for a drink, and they would come home drunk and fight like mad. Fun to watch. And there was a little lady, no, lady and her sister, and they were known as Aunt Emily and Mrs. Kermode. It was fun watching them at the football matches. They would always be supporting Braddon and would be running up and down the line, shouting to the players what to do, like, down the field with the ball, come on, come on, get it up there, come on, get running. Oh, it was great fun watching them. There was a river in front of our house, and many times we were flooded. We'd have to get out and go to Larminy's hut. Now, this was known as Larminy's hut. It was a large wooden house which was built up on the mill road. Larminy's used to live in Union Mills, and he was a retired chemist, but he used to make up portions and sell these in Douglas. But he was a great gambler, and he lost all his money, so he had to retire from the village, Union Mills village, and he came up into this black hut. It's where he originally started making his portions up, but in the end he had to live there. They were very, very nice people, and Mrs. Larminy was a real lady. Now then, when we were flooded, up there we would go, and we'd be looking down at our house, which we could see, and all you would be able to see would be the roof of it. All the banks of the river had burst at one time, and all the laundry in Clucas's was found floating down in Portishee Meadow. We all had to go down and collect it up and bring it back again. Now the village had 5 toilets, dry toilets in a row, and these would be for, say, every 10 houses. When it was dark in the winter, we would all watch for the people going to the toilet, and they would have a candle with a jam jar over it. No electricity in those days. Then we would all start singing, "We know where you're going." This was innocent fun in those days. Our direct neighbours were the Callows, who lived by the football field in a house called Meadowview Cottage. Edens lived in the laundry yard. Their house was called Riverside. They were all very good neighbours, and we all got on well. I left school at 14 years and started work with my friends in the laundry. This was very hard work and long hours in the summer. We would start at 8 o'clock in the morning and finish about 11 at night. All for 36 shillings a week and sixpence if you worked on Saturday mornings. I'm sure this wouldn't be tolerated in this age. In the winter we worked from 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock, and we used to have the laundry used to provide us with lovely picnics in the summer, and in the winter we'd have dinner dances, and it also arranged trips to Liverpool and Fleetwood. So life did have its good times as well as bad times. A teenager, this was a good time because I began to go out with boyfriends to the country dances at Abbeyland, up to the Braid and to Maroun. We had such fun in those days. Then as we grew older, we would go to the Palady Dance, to the Palace Ballroom, the Derby Castle, Cunningham's Camp and Collinson's. So we had plenty of choice. And then there was the pitches in Strand Street. They had the Strand. They also had the Pitcher House. In Victoria Street was the Regal. And in Walpole Avenue, there was the Royalty, also known as the Fleet Pit. We must admit there was plenty of places for entertainment. We also played badminton, hockey. We belonged to cycling clubs. We belonged to the Girls' Friendly Society. Later to the Royal British Legion and the WI, and I became an active member in all these clubs. I was elected onto Kirkbraddon Council and was in the choir. War was declared. Now this caused great sadness and also excitement. All our boys left for the forces, and the island was invaded by Air Force, Army and Naval men. Plenty of dance partners. We had to be very careful, as there was a blackout, and that meant no lights at all was allowed. If there was one chink of light in your house, You would be told about it the first time, but the second time you would be heavily fined. I joined the Wrens. Now, these were the best years of my life. It was great, as to me it was just like going out to work, as I was allowed to live at home. I was stationed at first in Balcarrie 2 as part of the captain's pool. It was actually a team who did typing of signals, answering the phone, showing people to various officers, and office work in general. I wanted very much to go abroad, but I didn't manage it. And then I went to Balcarrie 1, and then I was transferred to the commander's office in Douglas Head, doing the same job. It was good life. I did get as far as Dovercourt, 80 miles east side of London. I had pestered and pestered for this, and eventually it had been given to me. Now, yes, I liked London at that particular time, but only when there was no bombs, when it was peaceful, and that wasn't very often. They were all off. It was awful sometimes when you think about it. They were bombing London nearly every night, and I didn't like that. The planes would come over, and then we'd see these here big lights going up in the skies, and oh, it was shocking. We're very fortunate in Dovercourt that we hadn't been bombed. I just didn't like all that part of the war. My father took ill, and he was rushed to hospital, and I was given compassionate leave to go home. Now, as Dad was so ill, I was home for a fortnight, and then a posting came for me, and it was up to Douglas Head. I thought I'd be going back to Dovercourt, but I didn't. I went up to Douglas Head, and I worked in there in the confidential office. I had no choice. In that time, you did it without any argument. I had to open that office at 6 o'clock in the morning. Now, I lived in Cronkburn, and this was up at the top of Douglas Head where the hotel is. And I had to walk. I had to leave at 4:30 in the morning, and I had to walk right down Tremode Road up to Douglas Head, rain, hail or snow, and you wouldn't dare be late. There was no cars or buses in those days, because petrol was rationed, so you couldn't get a car. Yes, I was often scared going past the trees by the waterfall. It would be pitch black, not a light. And there used to be a lot of refugees on the island. They were also called aliens. And there were a lot of them used to try and escape. I've met several of them. When I say I've met them, I've seen them coming up the road, and I've ran past them because I've been frightened. But when I look back now, they were only harmless people who were in the wrong place at the wrong time, and they were put over here as not as refugees in internment camps. It must have been dreadful for them. Some of them were Germans, some were Austrians. Well, no, there wasn't many Austrians. There was mostly Germans that were in that sort of thing. But they didn't mean us harm. It was just, as I say, they had to be interned. And then the night came when war was declared. We were all sitting waiting for this. We were sitting round the wireless at home. There was no television in those days. And peace was declared. And as soon as peace was declared, we grabbed our coats and we ran all the way down to the promenade. Oh dear, what a wonderful time that was. The promenade was absolutely packed. And you can imagine, from Derby Castle to the pier. We all formed a big long line, and we were doing the dance on the La Conga over the promenade. Everybody was so happy. They were hugging and kissing. The boats were blown. There was whistles being blown. There were sirens going. And people were climbing up the Jubilee clock. And some people were swimming in the sea. You can imagine it. That promenade was packed with young and old. But they were so happy and enjoying themselves. They were singing. The war was over, and that was the main thing. this went on right through the night, dancing and singing and laughing, and oh, it was a wonderful time. And they were bringing pianos out of houses and pushing them on the promenade just so they'd be able to sing and dance and play music. The lesson is taken from Luke chapter 1. The lesson is taken from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 56. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judea, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and the Spirit has rejoiced in God my Saviour. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm, and has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones, and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our forefathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Just around about 8:30, Stanley comes on his motorbike to get me. And I was up and dressed, and he took me up to St. Luke's, up on the road going down to the reservoir. We hid the bike in the hedge, and then we got over into the field, and we watched. Yes, those people came up to St. Luke's. Now, the church was open in those days, and they went in, and then they came out. They were lighting their cigarettes and their cigars, and they were having a confab. They had the little buttonholes in, and eventually Stanley said, "Come on, it's getting cold." You can say that again. It was a very cold and frosty the night before, and it was still cold and frosty that morning. Well, we decided we'd go back home, so we went down, got the motorbike, and went back home. Well, we went back to his house, and he lit the fire, and we sat and we had a cup of tea and that in front of a nice big fire. And then that night, I wouldn't go out with Stanley, simply because I was frightened of meeting any of his friends. But they got their own back on us. They seen the funny side of it. But when we did get married, they were all there. And we certainly knew they were there too. We were married at Kirkbraddon Church by the Reverend Canon Rushworth at 8:00 in the morning. Irene Dale was my bridesmaid. I wore a tan and blue suit, and I had freesia. We hadn't time for a reception, but we did have a wedding breakfast at the Savoy Hotel, which was in Victoria Street then. And we went away on the 9:00 boat. Now, they all came down to the boat. And do you know what they'd done? They had arranged with the crew to put balloons all around the boat. and they had some rude banners too there. And they had got the crew to do all this. We knew quite a lot of the crew. And as we walked on the boat and got to our cabins, and we opened our cabin, what happened? They had rigged up a bucket full of confetti, and it was down on top of us before we realised it. We stayed for a couple of nights at the Adelphi Hotel. And believe me, the first night there, when we went into the Adelphi Hotel, it was all decorated up and all outside the door was decorated. There was one of the members of the club was in Liverpool on business that day, and the other chaps had arranged with them to do this. We were very embarrassed the next morning when we went down for breakfast, because when we went into the dining room, everybody stood up and started clapping, and all we could hear was, "Here comes the bride playing." The table had a big notice on it, "Reserved, just married." So that is how they got their own back on us. We only stayed there two nights. Then we went down to Warwickshire and to London to see the Ideal Home exhibition. It was while we were in London that Stanley took ill, and we had to bring the doctor to the hotel, and he told me to take him home as soon as I could, as he needed help. Little did I know, it was a lot of help he needed. It was cancer. He put the best side out, and we tried to carry on with life. His mother died. She was a wonderful lady, and we did miss her. After 2.5 years, our world was complete. We had Roland. Stanley was so proud of him. But after 4 years of a very happy married life, Stanley went to the Myrtle Street Cancer Hospital, where he died. I was devastated. A widow, 32 years old, and a little boy without his father. Life just fell to pieces. Stanley died in the June, my mother in the September, and my father in October. That was in 1953, and I don't want another year like it. All my loved ones gone. Now, that's a closed chapter. That's a closed chapter. But even as I tell you this, Roland, I can honestly say I will never forget them. Stanley was a wonderful husband. Life had to go on. Roland was all I had left, and to show my heart for all the happiness that I'd had, I cannot remember how I managed to keep going. I met George. He was a shop assistant at the 50 shilling tailors. He was a very gentle and a very caring man, and he was a real conservative person. He was a tailor by trade, and he always said he only married me because he wanted Roland as his son. He was very fond of Roland from when he first met him, and he continued to be a good father to him. We had some very happy times, but it was sometimes very hard. George did not tell me before he married that he was epileptic, and this was a great shock. However, it was an illness, and we had to live with it. I found out the hard way, and that was when he had his first fit. George was Manx by birth, but lived in Liverpool, then came back to the island. We give Roland the best that we could. Roland met Anne and was married in Ireland. Then he had Roman and Darwin, and they brought us great joy. George and I would save very hard, and we went abroad to Austria, Holland, Germany and Italy for holidays. I have done all sorts of work, laundry, rents, shop work, ice cream and cheese factory, grocery shop, making light jackets and being manageress of a sewing factory. Then my health broke down. I had a very serious heart trouble. It was so bad that in the end I was given 2 months to live. Eventually I was sent to Liverpool in 1979 and had an open heart operation. I returned to Nobles Hospital in the October and spent 3 weeks there. I was only size 12 when I came back. I'm not that now, though. I was told I wouldn't work again, as the operation was major. I should have had 3 new valves. Because I didn't, it was because I couldn't take any more anaesthetic. They had only time to do the main aortic valve. The other valves, they stretched. I was told I would never work again. But I struggled on, I was determined, and I did get work. I got light work in a shop, the Jaeger shop. That was my last place of work. George retired, but he took little, he retired, but he took a little job in Ballymona Hospital canteen. We loved going for walks together and shopping trips. We spent our last Christmas day together with Roland, Anne, and the two boys. The following morning, George took ill. He was in Nobles Hospital for 2 months before he died. He suffered very much indeed. It was a very hard to watch him suffer. I know we could do nothing to help him. I don't know how I would have got through it all if it hadn't been for Roland and Anne and the two children. They give me their support when I needed it. I always thought I would have gone first. But it wasn't to be. Hilary came over for the funeral, and when she went back, she got the idea that she was going to live in the Isle of Man. So her husband Bill came and he stayed with me. But I didn't get on with him. We had our differences. And to me, it was a dreadful time, so I had to tell him to leave in the end. Now then, I used to go down to Uni Mills Chapel. And it was there that I met Vanda that one Sunday evening, and she asked me, she had just lost her husband, and she had asked me back for a cup of tea. And I got quite friendly with her. And then Dorothy Tickle and Hilda Mason, they were widowed in the same year. So the four of us got together, and we used to go on a Saturday night to each other's houses, and we'd have a game of cards, Newmarket, just for pennies and halfpennies, but it was great fun. There was no harm in it. And it was through this that we were enjoying ourselves so much that I decided we'd start an autumn club for lonely people. And do you know, I didn't really think it would take off as it had. We had 13 members to start with, and it's gone up to 32 members now. We have various speakings and we have outings. And it gives me something to do, arranging and running it. So now Roland and Anne and Darwin and Roman, when you've heard this, you'll know what sort of a life that your grandmom had. And do remember this. I'm very slow to show it, I know. But I can honestly say I love the four of you very, very much. Roland, you have been a good son. We've had our differences, but I still love you. Anne, you have been absolutely wonderful. To me, you've been the daughter that I never had but wanted. You are both, and the two children, well, I can't say enough. I can't say how much I love you, because I love you all very, very much. But there's one thing I will say to you. Roland and Anne, never stop telling each other how much you love each other, because the time will come when you might say, oh, I should have said it. Always keep loving each other. Darwin and Roman, always remember the commandment. Honour your father and mother. Your father and your mother have been two wonderful people. They have been wonderful parents to you boys. And there's sometimes you young, like I have been, and you have been rebellious against them. But remember this, dear. You only ever have one mother and one father. So please remember that. Now that's all I'm going to say, and God bless you all. Love from Mum, from you and your grandmum. God bless. I'll now give you a rundown, Roland, on the whole family. Now, my mother and father, my mother was Annie Alcock, and my father, Joseph Arden, they were came from Stockport, where they both lived at Hazel Grove, in next road to each other, from what I understand. My mother was a great pianist, and when she was younger, she used to work in the cotton mills. My father was always a dyer. He was brought up, that was his trade. My father was also in the army, and that's how he come to know the Arab man. He was stationed over at Knock Aylow. They got married, and they lived first of all at the Cool, and then from Cool they went to East Baldwin, and then from East Baldwin they came down to Riversbank, and that was their last home. Riversbank was the bungalow which was opposite the laundry. I think I've described that to you in an earlier tape. But now I'll give you the lowdown on the family. There was 11 of us. Leslie was the eldest. He had no children. He married Dorothy Corkish, who died when she was pregnant. Later he married Elsie McKay, and they lived in number 7 Cronkburn Village. Leslie worked in Cluxus Laundry Wash House for many years. Then he went farming. He took over Canay Farm, which is in Ballacrane area, and was a farmer until he took ill and died in Broad Green Hospital from heart trouble. Doris was the eldest girl. She worked in the laundry in the dry cleaning department with my father. She, being the eldest, was like a mother to us younger ones. She married Horace, a farmer, and in East Baldwin at Bella Willem Farm. And when they retired from farming, Doris went to work at Ballymona Hospital. She was a very, very caring person. She had two children, Grace, now married to Mike Goldie, and Jack, her son, who married Helen Kane, and they have Uni Mills Garage. They have two sons, Peter and Colin, both working in the garage. Douglas, he was a very tall man, about 6'5", I think. He worked in the dyeing department of Cluxus Laundry. He met Agnes Greaves. She was a Scotch girl who he married, and they lived for quite a while in Scotland. Douglas had two daughters, Doreen, who was at Ballacrane, and Nancy, who was a Macmillan nurse, but living away. Eventually, Douglas came home to the island, and Ronnie, Douglas, and Lawrence, and Leslie, they started Peel Laundry, but that was too much opposition from Cluxus Laundry. They couldn't keep up with it, so they gave it up. Douglas went to Greba and started a little small holding and sold vegetables. He's still living, if you call it living. For 8 years he's been in Ballywattleworth Nursing Home, as he lost all his circulation, and he is still there, although at the time of going up recording this, he is very, very ill. Mona worked in Cluxus Laundry, and then she married Joe Dennett, who had a grocery business in Onken, and they had two children, June and Edmund. Then there was Ronnie. Now, he worked in the General Post Office as a mechanic, and then he went to Heron and Breary's as a mechanic, and he married Muriel Lawton. They lived in Onken, and then they went to Peel, and he also lived in Cronkburn. Now, Ronnie, when he just before he married Muriel, he won a lot of money in the Irish sweep, but then he started drinking and he lost a lot of it too. Margie. Now, Margie worked in Cluxus Laundry until war broke out, and then she married Eddie Inston. And they went to live in Quinton. Eddie had to join up, and Quinton is in Birmingham, so Margie stayed there, and then she came back to Douglas to live. And she's got two children, Anne and David. She's still living. She's 18 years of age now and lives at the cottage, Spring Valley. Teddy, he was a plumber, and he worked for Shoprite as their plumbing and building manager. He lived in Onken. He married Alice Hines, and they have one son, Edward. Teddy died in 1978, again from heart trouble. Vera worked in Clucas's laundry. She joined the ATS and she married Joe Dennett, who was Mona's widower when she came out of the forces. And then he died and she married Cecil Lees. She has one daughter, Joyce. Vera died suddenly a couple of weeks ago, 1994, again heart trouble. Ida, that's me. I'm still living, or at least existing, but you have my life story on tape. I also suffered from heart trouble. Lawrence, now he joined the Air Force. He was a member of Peel Laundry, and then he worked for long years in Ballymona Hospital as a boiler man. And it was there with a long, with about seven other people, that they won the football pools. And with that money, he took early retirement. He married Lily Goldsmith, and they're both still living in Snugborough Avenue. They have two sons, Philip and Neil. Now Audrey, she was the youngest, so she didn't go out to work. She stayed at home and helped mother. Audrey married Percy Sale, and they took up farming in Foxdale. Then they retired from farming, and Percy got a job with Castletown Commissioners. And they're now living in Castletown. Both of them retired, and they have one son, Graham. So that's a lowdown on all your aunts and uncles on the in my side, Roland. I'm going to go back now, Roland, on different things. The likes of the laundry, Clucas Laundry, it is now twice the size of what it was when it was originally built. Where the road going up to the laundry is now and the offices, that was the river. But they altered the course of the river to build out. And in doing so, there was quite a trial going on because they were pinching Braddon land without permission. However, they got it sorted out, and now the river has altered its course completely to what it used to be. Riversbank, the house that we lived in, was a bungalow. And this bungalow was right opposite the laundry. You can only tell it now by the privet hedges that's all overgrown. Behind that privet hedge was this house. It had three large bedrooms in it. And then there was a large kitchen come sitting room. It had a French stove which was standing out from the wall. It had a garage built on the back of it. The toilet was outside and there was no bathroom in it. There was a big back kitchen where we used to put a tin bath on a Friday night, and that was bath night. Dad did put hot water in it. Before that it was all cold water. Now Dad worked for all his life over here, he worked in Clucas's Laundry. He was the first man to bring dyeing and dry cleaning to the island. He was a very strict man, but at the same time, there was a lot of fun in him. We wouldn't dare say no or give our parents cheek. Oh no, we'd feel the weight of their hand if we did. And believe me, it has never done us any harm. They used to dry blankets outside on the lawn, which was outside the front of Riversbank. The laundry would come out on fine summer mornings, the girls, and they would spread these blankets out, and they would get stones from the bank of the river to put on each corner of them. And then when it got about 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you would see them coming out and folding the blankets up, putting them into these here big bogies, and pushing the bogies back across the bridge to the laundry. Now that was an everyday occurrence there. There was a big plantation, and after Dad retired, Audrey, who had stayed home and looked after, helped in the house, she was always very fond of hens. So Dad and her started up poultry. I think they started with about a dozen day-old chicks and reared those up, and from that, when they finished, there was over 1,000 hens. They used to sell the eggs. People came from all over the island to them, and he used to supply the co-op with them. He was well known for his eggs. Mother, she was a great one at the piano. She could play anything at all. She could make a piano talk. And it was a great thing when Dad bought her the new piano, because around about Clucas Laundry those days, there wasn't much entertainment and that sort of thing. And I remember the day that the piano arrived that night, I think everybody came down to see it, and Mother played on it, and everybody was around singing. Now then, I think I have told you all about the houses that are around about the laundry. I'm almost sure on a previous tape you know those. Life in our day was wonderful. The associations and clubs that I belonged to was the Wrens Association. I belonged to Braddon WI, Braddon and Moran Royal British Legion, Women's Section, Braddon Mothers Union, Union Mills Fellowship, and Union Mills Autumn Club. Union Mills Fellowship and the Autumn Club I still go to, and to the British Legion. The others I don't go to now. Got getting too long in the tooth for them. Before that, I used to belong to the Pebble Motorcycling Club, to the Ellen Bannon Cycling Club, Braddon Badminton Club, Clucas Laundry Sports Club, Douglas Hockey Club, and Murray's Road Netball Club. So I was quite an active person in my younger days. Standing there. My pet dislikes was getting up late.